Hi everybody, this is Andrea from Kindersleep. Welcome to our sleep chat. We have right now Kristen on the line and we're talking about early rising, which we're going to talk a little bit about in a few minutes. One of the big things is just holding off calories until 6 o'clock, if possible, and holding off light to 6 o'clock. That way you're not going to encourage early rising because, you know, now he gets hungry at 5:30, just seeing if you can hold them off till 6. If it's just an odd day that he's waking up early, it doesn't really matter what you do. But if it becomes a habit, there's lots of different ways that we can deal with it. Did you have any follow-up questions or anything else, Kristen? The only issue is if you have an early nap, that could mean an earlier second nap, and that can keep things sort of perpetuating with this early rising because it could mean a later nap. If you're able to hold off the nap, and half an hour is not a big deal. Yeah, so if you see that, you know, the afternoon nap ends up early and then you need to move bedtime early, or he's overtired before bed, then you might start seeing a pattern where now he's consistently waking up early because he went to bed earlier or he went to bed more overtired. So you have two options in the morning. And like I said, half an hour is not a big deal. But if he starts waking up an hour early, then that's where it can shift things fairly significantly. So keeping him up longer in the morning, it's usually not a problem. Most children can stay up longer in the morning and it won't affect their ability to fall asleep. It won't make it harder. If there's some overtiredness happening in the morning, usually they'll catch up for that morning nap. There's a lot of momentum from night sleep for morning nap, so most children don't have a big issue with that. You know, if you can hold off and keep him up until his regular nap time, that's great. Sometimes what we'll do is have a morning cat nap. So if there's a morning where he's really tired early, you could let him sleep, but just for a very short period of time, 10 to 20 minutes maximum, and then he should still have his good nap starting around 9 o'clock, which is what we're looking at for. So at 9 months, the range of time to start the morning nap is between 8:30 and 10 a.m. So it's quite variable, but we don't really want older babies going to sleep for their first nap too early, because that means, again, that whole day gets shifted earlier and that makes it really hard. So Lindsay, let's see if we can get you. You look like you're unmuted now. Now, you know, if he's nursing to sleep at bedtime, when he wakes up in the night, for whatever reason, he's going to need to nurse back to sleep. It's going to be hard to fall asleep a different way. And so when we want to make changes, we need to focus in on bedtime. So there's two pieces. There's, you know, how is he falling asleep at bedtime? And then why is he waking up in the middle of the night? It could just be because his sleep cycle has shifted and he's a little bit more wakeful. His environment and the scenarios change from bedtime. He's probably not in the same place. He doesn't have a nipple in his mouth anymore. And so he needs that to fall back to sleep. Yeah, and if he can get better at falling asleep independently at bedtime, then you're going to see his ability to fall asleep in the middle of the night will significantly improve. Now, Jody Mindell's done some research on this, and she has found that just working on bedtime alone gives you a 50 to 80% chance that the rest of the night wakings will stop. So bedtime is pretty significant, and it's always the place to start. For right now, it's not an issue, but I think you're going to find that you're going to benefit significantly from an earlier bedtime. But normally what we aim for is the child is awake for about an hour after the parents get home. It's a little bit unrealistic to hope for anything longer than that. Some families, it's even more challenging. But if dad's home most nights at 5:36, there may be nights where he misses them. But at 10 months, you know, a bedtime around 7 is quite reasonable. You know, maybe it would be later or whatever. Some of the wakings at night could be from being overtired before bed. However, working with a later bedtime initially when you're trying to improve your sleep habits at bedtime can actually make things a little easier And there's a technique called bedtime fading, and it's not good to use it alone, but you start off with whatever strategy you're going to use, and then you just you do that quite a bit later. So if he normally falls asleep at 9 o'clock, depending on how you're doing it exactly, you would start by putting him to bed at 9 or putting him to bed an hour later at 10. So there's that those two options. Helping him to learn to fall asleep from awake at bedtime, that's a, that is the challenge. And there's lots of different techniques that you can use. I use a variety of techniques that are all stay and support. So it really depends on the child's temperament and also how much time and patience you have. So the gentlest method I have, I actually have in one of my books, Loved to Sleep, where we break the steps down very small. So if you've got 2 to 4 weeks to see improvements, the Love to Sleep method significantly reduces or eliminates any tears through the process. But even, when you use the behavioral fading strategy, where you can offer that constant, consistent support and just gradually reduce, you can stay with them and you typically see improvements at this age in 3 to 5 nights. And then there may be a few things that you have to work on afterwards, but usually you're by the 3 to 5 nights, you're seeing things are going fairly well. Most babies cry, but we do calming breaks and we offer constant, consistent support. So it's a little bit of a trade-off. It's like trading tears for time, or trading time for tears, which is what my co-author Jen Varela talks about, that you can invest more time and reduce tears through the process, or sometimes it's more appropriate to use a method where you just kind of get it done and over with, even though you don't have to do cry it out, or you don't have to leave them alone. You can actually have somebody stay right there with them, and you can do pickups if needed. So there's lots of options, but it is really important to start at bedtime, no matter what technique you're using, because that's going to be the easiest time for him to learn, and it's going to have a really big impact on the rest of the night and even naps. Once bedtime is going well in the nights, then you can start working on naps if you need to. About 40% of children just start sleeping really well. Once they start sleeping at night, their naps improve on their own. So most children at this age would be overtired if they were awake longer than about 3 hours before bed. And sometimes it's a little bit less, like 2.5 hours, but I would watch. You don't have to put him to bed early, but just start watching his signs and see, like, when is he getting tired after that second nap, especially. So if you're seeing that the 2.5 hour mark or the 3 hour mark, most likely you're going to see a burst of energy after that, and then there'll be a dip in energy, and then another burst of energy. So there's a few times where it's easier to get a child to sleep, before they're overtired in the first place is ultimately where we want to go, but you can actually start with later bedtime. I'll post chart of evening sleepy zones on the Facebook page so you can sort of see what I'm talking about visually. When you're ready to tackle sleep, that's when I think it's going to be important to cut it out, at least at bedtime. So keep doing it. But when you're ready to start a sleep plan, then on the first day, I would just move the nursing earlier in the routine, so even before the pajamas, and then put him down awake. Otherwise, you're doing half the work, or whatever percent of the work, and in the middle of the night, he'll need you to come back and do that again. So, depending on the method you're using, sometimes it's just better to get it done and take the nursing away at bedtime. That doesn't mean if he wakes up in the middle of the night, you can't nurse him back to sleep. Eventually, you might want to wean off of that, but there's options there. I would suggest just don't do anything until you have a good plan, and then, get ready to move forward. If you're looking for something super gentle, if you're on my website, you'll see the Love to Sleep link, but you can also go to lovetosleep.com, and there's a guide you can get on there that is just sort of a blank sleep plan that you can fill out that goes along with the book. Otherwise, if you're on kindersleep.com, I have some more information about different types of coaching styles and techniques and lots of resources there. So I've got a couple of questions that were sent in previously. So one from Amy. So Amy has a 9-month-old, and she said that we've been coaching our 9-month-old for the past week. Sometimes wakes up at 4:30 hungry, and sometimes 5:30, and he goes to bed around 7. How do I move away from the 4:30 feed? So that's a really good question. When children are used to eating, sometimes they wake up just because of that. But also between 4 and 6 a.m., sleep is much lighter. And so eating during that time causes a lot more lighter sleep because now there's digestion happening. And so it makes it easier for a child to wake up. So it just kind of causes a lot more issues. So there's a few options for weaning off. A lot of children at 9 months can wean off a feed. You could just gradually wean off. You can go cold turkey. I have in my book a strategy that works, gentle night weaning for babies, the Kinder way. And I have a free resource with free videos. If you go to kindersleep.com and you click on the book link, you'll go through to the gentle night weaning book and you can plug in your email address there. And I actually just kind of explain the technique for weaning, but I'll go over it briefly. So basically, if you were to feed him earlier, then you could potentially have him sleep through till 6 o'clock. And so, for example, you can start off and you could do a dream feed maybe around 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock or any time that makes sense for you. And we just want to establish that stretch of time at the end of the night where he's not eating. And that way, when he does wake up, he should be hungry and have a good feed. And that should help load those calories into the daytime. Wherever you start your dream feed, you can move it 15 minutes earlier every night or every few nights. And it's just a really gentle strategy to wean off. So check out the resource there because I kind of describe it visually and that might be helpful as well. The second question that you had was, and after shushing for a week, how do we move away from that? So there's a couple different ways. You can reduce the volume of your shushing. You can also start breaking up the shushing so it's a little bit more intermittent. I like to give a few minutes for the child to settle on their own before shushing and then gradually increase that. So for example, tonight you might wait a minute or two and if he's still awake, then shush him to sleep. Tomorrow night, add a few more minutes and gradually get to that point where you're giving him 10 minutes or maybe even longer where you give him a chance to settle on his own. And then if he's still awake, you're still offering that support to sleep. So that is a way that typically works for a lot of families to wean off. So that could be helpful. But let me know if you need to chat or if you have any questions. I do mini consults. If you just need to talk for 15 minutes, we can arrange that for sure. All right. And Shushi, this question. Can you please remind me of transitioning from 2 naps to 1 nap? And what age do you start that transition? So that's a really good question. Most children go down to 1 nap between 15 and 18 months. I do have a blog on that on the Kindersleep site, which I will post in the Facebook event. So you can click right over there. What we're looking for is a good afternoon nap. And so if the morning nap is very long and the afternoon nap starts to get short or go too late in the day, then we need to start reducing the length of the morning nap so that we get this good afternoon nap, because the afternoon nap is the one they're going to keep, and so we want it to be really solid. And also it's going to have the biggest impact on bedtime and whether the child is overtired going to bed, so we want to try to avoid that if possible. So what I suggest a lot of times, if the afternoon nap is not good in that category, it's at least 90 minutes long, It starts ideally between 1 and 2 p.m. at this age. Then you can start shaving off time, reducing the length of the morning nap. So just take 15 minutes off or even 10 or 5 minutes and see what happens to the afternoon nap. And keep reducing the length of the morning nap until the afternoon nap starts between 1 and 2 p.m. and is at least 90 minutes long. And so you'll find the sweet spot at some point. But then you're going to notice that as a child weans down and gets closer to only having one nap, it's going to stop working. So if you end up finding that an hour morning nap means the afternoon nap is still good, that's great. You'll probably go along that way for a few weeks. And then you might find that your baby can't fall asleep at the same time. Its nap is getting pushed later or shorter. And then you know it's time to reduce the morning nap. So if it was an hour long, you could take 10 or 15 minutes off and see if that improves the afternoon nap. And if you find that sweet spot, that's great. And when that changes, then keep going. And so I usually keep going until the morning nap is about 15 or 20 minutes long. Once you're down to about 15, 20 minutes, you can usually eliminate the morning nap. You may find in the short term, your afternoon nap starts a little bit earlier. If the afternoon nap starts before 1 and you're not in daycare, then I would try to push it to 1. Having the nap start too early means your bedtime will probably need to start much earlier. And so if you can get that nap so it starts between 1 and 2, then you'll probably find that you won't have that issue with overtiredness before bed. It is a bit of a transition. Some people will use a different technique. So if you have one really good solid nap that's in the morning or mid-morning, then you can gradually push that nap later until it starts around 1 o'clock. I find that's not as easy to do it that way, but I will post the link to that nap transition blog, and that way you can see it there. Okay, thanks for the question, Shishi. All right, so Peggy has a question about early rising, and we touched a little bit on this earlier. My 10-month-old baby B has gotten into the pattern of going to bed early by 6 p.m. She's rubbing her eyes and yawning, and bedtime at 6:30. And early wake-ups are happening around 5:30 a.m. So 5:30 isn't terrible. Most children, we want them to be waking up between 6 and 7:30 a.m. We consider that normal. But it is a little bit early when it's before 6. So she goes on to say, with an early wake-up, she's often going down for her first nap around 7:30 and then the second nap around 11:30. Naps vary between 40 minutes and 2 hours, but usually 1 hour long. With early naps, it makes it a very long afternoon. And that's a really good point. The end of the day is the most important for avoiding overtiredness. So first thing in the morning, not as important, although children have an easier time falling asleep. They typically look tired around 2 or 3 hours or so after waking up in the morning. The first nap is the easiest one to get, but it's actually not the most important. The afternoon nap and the afternoon wakeful window, that the awake time between nap and bedtime, is the most significant for night sleep and for early rising.